Hey, I'm Sam Ivey with Collegiate Ministries, and you're listening to a Mississippi Baptist Convention Board production.
Thanks for listening to the Mississippi Baptist Around the Table podcast. I'm John Martin, Strategy Officer, alongside Tanner Cade, our Communications Director.
That's right. Glad to be at the table today. We have a very special guest with us. His name is Brian Crawford. Many of you in the state of Mississippi may know him. He is currently serving as the president of Mission Mississippi, and he is the lead pastor at City Light Church in downtown Vicksburg. Maybe we can get into some of his background here in just a minute. He's also well involved in the church 242 church planning network, involved in assessing, training, and coaching church planners. So it's very cool. Hope to hear some of that. And I believe you attended Mississippi State University. Is that what I
did? Go Dogs.
That's right.
Hail State.
There we go.
Yeah.
So while we have you on the podcast, let's jump into some events coming up around the corner.
Yeah. So March 18 and 19 is a ministry assistance conference and training at Camp Garraway. Obviously that's pastoral leadership is where you can find more information about that.
That's right. And Hubert Yates, as much as we have mentioned this recently, he better do some favors for
us.
Yeah,
for real.
Disaster relief training. There's two more coming up. March 23rd in Columbus and April 6th at Emmanuel Baptist Church in Grenada.
Yeah, so a Southern Baptist event that we're trying to promote, that's really promoted, I guess, by the North American Mission Board, is Baptism Sunday. So the week after Easter, which is April the 7th, they're encouraging churches to set that date for baptisms. And so that day is coming up. There's resources available at NAM.
That's right. That's right. And April 13th, we just want to show our beloved comments for discipleship and Sunday school department. April 13th is a state speakers tournament at First Baptist Clinton. April's a big month for that department. They have Bible drills across the whole state as well. You can see all those dates and more events at mbcb.org/events.
Yeah, Brian, it's good to have you, man.
Great to be here,
Brian. Yeah, good to see you again.
That's right.
Just for those that are listening that may not know Brian Crawford, tell us a little bit about your ministry background, your family, and all of that good stuff.
Yeah, the Lord arrested my heart, man, all the way back in 1997. I'm the son of a pastor, the late E.J. Crawford. I was the prototypical pastor's kid.
Yeah.
The prototypical pastor's kid. Look in the dictionary for pastor's kid, and Brian's picture is there.
Yeah.
And so I ran from God and ran from his gospel as long as I could.
Yeah.
And in high school, going into my junior year, or going into rather my senior year, as I was exiting my junior year, the Lord just captured my heart and set me on fire for him and began to run hard for him. I was accepted a call in the ministry back in 2003.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I was also married to my beautiful bride, Candy, who we've been married now 20 years, going on 21 years. We got two boys, BJ, who's 18, Elijah, who is 13, incredible kids. Yeah. And the Lord, again, he called me in the ministry in 2003. I was serving in different capacities, youth ministry, children's ministry. You know, when you're that young, they're like, hey, let's let him do the youth pastor thing and maybe he can relate to the kids. And,
yeah.
And of course I did that for a little while. Pastored a small church in Tallulah, Louisiana for a few years back in 2010, 2011. And then the Lord began to really impress in on me and my wife to return back to our home, Vicksburg, Mississippi, where we were living there. Tallulah was only 15 minutes away, 20 minutes away. But to really kind of return back where we lived, worked, and played and begin to consider planting a church.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really have a category for church planting at that point. And so I began
to have— is pre-242 Network, though,
absolutely.
Right?
This is pre-242 Network. And so I began to have a conversation with a good friend of mine, a shout out to Chaz Rowland, now in Florida,
absolutely,
with the Florida Baptist. He left the Mississippi Baptist, so we're not out of shape about it. But Chaz was like, "Hey, man, there's this network that we have in Mississippi Baptist Life that does assessments, and let's try to see if we can put you into contact with those guys."
Yeah, yeah.
And that's how I got connected with the Johnny Irvins of the world, the Paul Bernards of the world, Brian Tillmans of the world, and they brought me in 2015 for assessments. And got the green light, my wife and I, to step out. And that's when we moved into the The planning process of City Light Church, which is now in Vicksburg, Mississippi, launched in April of 2017.
That's awesome. So was Chaz's church, were they your sending church?
Chaz's church was the sending church. Yeah, Shout out to Bovina Baptist Church.
That's right.
Absolutely. Good folks over there.
Yeah, that's good.
So I know you have a lot of roots in the Vicksburg area, and you said you were pastoring there in Louisiana before you jumped back to Vicksburg. But there's two questions. You know, why plant City Light? But I kind of want to hear, I think, what's Vicksburg like? What drew you to come back to Vicksburg and plant a church? What's the spiritual context in Vicksburg? And we like to ask this question to a lot of leaders in the state. And you know Mississippi well. You know the differences. We've got the Delta. We've got the coast. DeSoto County is blowing up in the Memphis area, North Mississippi.
Absolutely.
So tell us about the context that you're in all the time in Vicksburg. Maybe you can draw us back to when you planted the church. Like, what's the spiritual state of Vicksburg?
Yeah, absolutely.
What's the need there?
So, of course, graduated from Mississippi State in computer engineering. So what drew me back to Vicksburg initially was the Corps of Engineers.
Okay.
So I started working for the Corps of Engineers back in December of 2001. I bring that to the conversation because Vicksburg is kind of like this unique situation where you have this large concentration. At one point, it was the largest concentration of STEM PhDs in America in terms of per capita.
Wow.
I think that's changed now and shifted, you know, with a lot of other STEM hubs kind of rising to the surface. But at one point in time, Vicksburg was one of the largest, if not the largest. So you have this crazy kind of shift where there's a lot of people from the outside coming in to work, live, work, and play. The Corps of Engineers is a big draw for STEM, kind of heady science guys and gals. And at the same time, you still got like old time Mississippi.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so there's just this kind of this weird dynamic between, you know, this urban and this old time Mississippi kind of fusion in Vicksburg.
Yeah.
Not to mention, you know, in terms of our conditions, we're about 50-50 split as it relates to African American, Black. And of course, we have some other minorities now that are starting to kind of surge in as well. But at one point in time, we were about 50-50 split. So you have this kind of historical separation, segregation at play, right? And so most of your churches are going to be segregated typically. And then you have this kind of weird educational distinctives at play. And then, of course, you have Mississippi just faith and religion, which is when you knock on the door and you say, hey, you know Jesus as Lord and Savior, everybody's going to say,
yeah, absolutely, I
know Jesus as Lord and Savior. And so City Light, the original, I guess, thrust for City Light came out of a deep and fresh reading of John 17. I was preparing to preach John 17, and for some reason, in reading it that particular time I was preparing to preach it, I just read it with fresh eyes. It was saying the same thing, but just it landed on the heart totally different.
Yeah.
And it was just this reality that, okay, if Jesus desires unity, so much so that he spends the last few hours of his life on earth praying for it, then what on earth am I doing in terms of committing my life and my time, talent, and treasure towards the pursuit of such a unity? You know, Father, I pray that they may be one as you and I are one, in order that the world may know that you sent me. John 17 presents an apologetic, a defense of the faith through unity. And so I was like, oh, this is how people know that you were sent by a oneness. And so we begin the desire to see that kind of representation of God's church in our city, where typically you would see traditionally these lines drawn. And so we set out with the heart to plant a multi-ethnic church from the beginning, and God answered that prayer from the beginning, which we're incredibly grateful for.
Yeah, man, it's tremendous. Just to hear the way that the Lord is preparing you for something that you have no idea.
Oh, my goodness.
You have no clue.
No clue.
Sitting down, you're reading John 17, that conviction comes on your heart. You plant a church that is going to be for the purpose of unifying the body of believers across racial lines.
Absolutely.
And then one day you get the phone call that says, hey, would you consider leading Mission Mississippi?
Yes.
Right? And it's like, this is not what I had in my mind, right? But but it seems like that's what the Lord was preparing you for.
He's been preparing my wife and I. We look back on our story, and we realize that he's been preparing us a long time for this. I mean, all the way back, we can go back to elementary school when when both Candy and I were typically in schools where we would be forced to engage with people across ethnic lines, across cultural lines, right? We wouldn't have a choice. In order to thrive in that school, we would have to learn how to cross those lines and become kind of bridges, so to speak, between two different worlds. And I would go to school and be surrounded, you know, by a majority white friends and students. And then I would go home into my neighborhood and be surrounded by majority black friends, right, in my neighborhood. Yeah. And just learning how to engage and cross those different lines and communicate across those different lines. The same story for my wife, you know, in terms of her elementary experience was very similar. And so the Lord was preparing us, right, for a journey towards a place like Mission Mississippi, you know, a 30-year organization dedicated to racial healing in the state of Mississippi, right? Yeah. And so it's been around a long time, but people, you know, people often ask me, okay, it's been around a long time and we're, you know, I mean, hey, you're having a podcast right now with Tanner and John. So, I mean, problem solved, right? Yeah. I mean, we could all go ahead, go home, check the box, it's done. And what I tell them is that, you know, there was a quote years ago by, you know, obviously one of the great, great leaders in reconciliation in the 50s and 60s, Dr. King. He said that he was thoroughly convinced that men didn't love each other because they don't, but they hate each other rather because they fear each other. They fear each other because they don't know each other. They don't know each other because they don't talk to each other. And they don't talk to each other because they're separated from each other, right? So obviously in the 50s and 60s and even in the 70s, the big push was let's close the space gap. Yeah. Let's create integration, right? And Mission Mississippi has very much been dedicated towards that space gap. And then Mission Mississippi took it a step further and said, now that we've closed the space gap, let's begin to communicate. Not small talk, not shallow talk, but deep talk that creates intimacy. Because shallow talk doesn't create intimacy. Deep talk does. And so let's close the silence to communication gap.
Yeah.
My journey as a president of Mission Mississippi is to continue to go further, right, and move from separation to integration and then move from silence to communication, but then move from ignorance to knowledge. You know, what we assume about one another versus what's actually true about one another, right?
Yeah.
Deep, intimate knowledge of one another, which leads from moving from fear to courage. Because if I know you, I don't have to fear you anymore.
Yeah, sure.
I don't have to be suspicious or distrusting of you. I can actually grow to actually be courageous and vouch for you and even fight for you when necessary.
Yeah.
And in that fear to courage, we move towards love, moving from apathy, because hatred, you know, hatred, I think a lot of times people say, well, I don't hate anybody, but are you apathetic?
Yeah.
In other words, you might not necessarily hate those people that walk by the Good Samaritan. I mean, those people that walk by the man on the road, they didn't hate him.
That's right. Yeah.
They just didn't care enough to help him. Right.
Yeah.
Which is just as important. Right.
Yeah. Sure.
And so how do you move from a position of hatred / apathy to a place of deep abiding love? All of that comes when we get in the same space, we begin to talk at a deep level, we grow in our knowledge, we grow in our courage, thus we deepen our love towards one another.
So practically, what does that look like?
Yeah.
What does that look like practically? I mean, is it literally just facilitating conversation?
That's a good question, John. So so some people would say, hey, let's get people in the same room and let's have them talk to one another. The problem is that we have been discipled so poorly in the realm of relational interaction and engagement with one another. And so part of the journey is, yes, let's create space. But what Mission Mississippi wants to spend the next 20 years, and I don't know how many of those years I'll be here. Maybe the Lord will grant me that 20. But however long I'm here, what Mission Mississippi wants to dedicate its time towards is equipping people at a discipleship level to engage one another relationally. Because, you know, for example, we teach this class at Mississippi College School of Law, or teach this seminar right now. Dr. Dean Anderson, shout out to Dean Anderson at the School of Law, who has given us space to come in and talk to the level one and level two students there. And what we do is at the level one, the entry students, what we give them is two paradigm shifts, moving from hearing to listening, moving from arrogance to humility. The level two, we give them two more paradigm shifts, moving from apathy to empathy. and moving from moral force to moral persuasion. Mm-hmm. In other words, if John and I don't agree, mm-hmm. moral force says, "Oh, well, that, I got to cancel John."
Yeah.
I gotta cancel mm-hmm. him. I gotta ruin his life. I gotta destroy everything that he loves and holds dear, right? Because we don't agree. Yeah. Moral persuasion says John has a story just like I have a story.
Yeah.
Right? And John has come to these deeply held convictions just like I've come to these deeply held convictions through family, through experience, through background, through teaching. So I want to go on a journey with John where we get a chance to learn one another.
And
learn what makes each other tick, because in doing so, there's going to be growth that happens. And even if we don't grow in agreement, we'll at least grow in understanding, empathy, and love, right?
So
what Mission Mississippi wants to do is not just get people in a room, mm-hmm. but we want to equip and disciple people in such a way where they understand how to take the journey while they're in the room.
That's good.
So context-wise, here we are, Mississippi Baptist Podcast, Around the Table Podcast. Thanks for listening to the episode today. Mm-hmm. And Brian, to have you at the table.
Yeah.
I want to put this in context of a lot of what we talk about here at the building. We have a new department, the Multicultural Department,
with
Paula Smith, who's leading that well. And we touch many different areas that we're trying to touch across the state and grow the Mississippi Baptist Convention. And, you know, so obviously you can guess at what a majority of our Mississippi Baptist churches are.
Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely.
And so we're trying to, I mean, all different groups. I mean, John, you just talked to her directly about some different initiatives she's working on, but everybody's trying to work on this, right? The relational aspect.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're trying to love our community, but then it's like we just hit this brick wall and we don't know how to break wall to talk to our communities across town, around the city. Different neighborhoods, everybody's different.
Yeah.
No matter where we are in the state, I feel like we can all hit that area of our communities that we're just scratching our heads as leaders in the state and wondering how do we form that relationship to eventually get to that gospel connection and invite to church, that family connection, the body of believers. So I'm just trying to put this in context of our listeners right now as they're sitting, maybe their pastors and their church here in Mississippi. Like, what do you tell pastors in the state as they're trying to maybe reach their community and grow that invite to people to come to their church and be a witness in their community? How would you encourage pastors today as they try to tackle that?
The
unknown for a lot of people, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Dig deep roots. Dig deep roots.
Mm. Yeah.
We, you know, at City Light, we tell people that, hey, our community is a big old oak tree.
Mm.
It's been here for a long time.
That's right. Mm.
And the Lord, in his sovereignty, like David, has given us an axe. Like he gave David a slingshot, he's given us an axe.
Yeah.
And we got a big old oak tree. We're taking one chop at a time. We're not trying to solve this issue in 2 days.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking 20-year visions.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I like to tell people all the time as it relates to our racial divide, ethnic divide, cultural divide, is that the pain that has been created in this is broad, it's deep, and it's severe.
Mm-hmm.
So the healing that has to be dedicated to it has to be broad, deep, and impactful, right? You can't expect quick work out of deep pain.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Good word. Absolutely.
And so what ends up happening is we are the people that have been in a 20-car collision, and we show up at the clinic and we're like, "Doctor, I got a meeting at 2. Can you hurry this up? You know, can you get us out of here?"
Yeah,
it's like, no. This was a 20-car collision. We're talking about over 400 years of incredible division, incredible pain, incredible hurt, incredible distrust, you know, just a lot of wounds and a lot of different ways that have been shaped and formulated on all sides, right?
Yeah.
And so the dedication towards the healing.
Yeah.
Is going to be incredibly, incredibly slow, methodical, and continuing to sow the seeds of the gospel into it, but with a vision to say, hey, I'm here for the long haul.
Mm.
And so I tell pastors all the time, don't get discouraged if week one, people still don't trust you in your community. Mm-hmm. Week two, week three, just continue the chop. Continue the chop, and trust will come. Trust will come.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you a question we didn't plan on, but I'm going to make an assumption.
Yeah.
a lot of people do not know that there is a giant of racial reconciliation right here in the metro in John Perkins. And I don't know John Perkins. I've read John Perkins, and the man, well, Do you have a connection to John Perkins?
Some, yes, yes. And, very loose at this point, but
any influence
but
definitely that he might have had on your life.
Yes, yeah. incredible influence from afar like you. Yeah. I've read a lot. I've also had a chance to hear him. He's told his story on behalf of Mission Mississippi since I've been on board. Just matter of fact, last month we had a what we call a Connection Friday, which is bi-weekly lunch and learn that we bring people on over Zoom, tell them to grab a brown bag and join us. And we had a John Perkins video that we just watched and talked about and reflected on his own story, how he experienced that deep pain.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the deep work of the gospel allowed him to navigate through that deep pain in healthy ways, right? That brought reconciliation.
Amen.
But his daughters are dear to Mission Mississippi.
Okay. Yeah.
They engage, they plug in. We partner together for a lot of initiatives, and he's actually a board emeritus for us at Mission Mississippi as well. So we have incredible history with Dr. Perkins.
Dad, I would say if you've not read John Perkins, if you're a Mississippian especially, and you've not read John Perkins, when it comes to theology of reconciliation and just his story and God's grace on his life, and now his wanting to reflect God's grace through the mending of relationships, amazing story.
Incredible story. And and even to this day, you know, Tuesday mornings,
I
5 a.m., if you get up that early, you know, there's a Dr. Perkins that's up and
that's
doing Bible study and inviting people from all over the community to join him, whether it be now mostly via Zoom.
Yeah.
But at one point in time, pre-COVID, it was just an open invitation, man, to just come to his house and dig into the Word 5 a.m. Just incredible stuff.
It's an amazing. He's an amazing guy, and just kind of paved the way
absolutely
for a lot of the work of what you're doing right now.
Absolutely,
so that's good stuff. Yeah.
How do you balance it? How do you balance? So you're between Vicksburg and Jackson a lot, as well as speaking around the state.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw you a couple weekends ago to D. Now I'm sure you're somewhere every weekend speaking.
I'm still on that line, by the way, Tanner, where I'm just young enough. So still get invited to D-Now. You get invited.
That's funny. You brought your son, I think, one time. That was good. But speaking of your family, I guess, when I first met you, you may not even recall this. It was in Anaheim at the Southern Baptist Convention, and we were at some Italian restaurant, and you were on the phone with your wife the whole time. I'm like, that brother loves his wife. Addressing what she needs.
It was a pizza place.
I remember the Italian.
Remember the Italian place.
Yes. Did you ever eat? Because you were ministering to her or something at the same time.
I have no idea if I ate that
night. I had forgotten about that.
But I knew right away, you are a family man, and I love that. So how do you balance it? Like, how do you do this? Like, I know you love your role in both places.
Absolutely.
God has called you to these places clearly. I mean, I feel like this is just questions with Brian Crawford right now, but I think, you know, when you start talking about all that you're doing as a leader in the church, all of our listeners are probably like, oh my goodness, stressing out, anxiety hits the ceiling.
Yeah.
So how do you balance this, brother?
So not effectively all the time. Let's just start with that. let's just start with that and be
maybe we should ask Candy.
Be very transparent, very honest.
What is she?
But there's a couple of things, right? There's like some non-negotiables in terms of, you know, Candy and I try to make it our business to guard our time. Mm-hmm. And so there are like quarterly rhythms where we say, hey, once a quarter, we're going to take, we've divided it up. So there's four trips a year that we're going to take. Two of those trips are going to be by ourselves, just me and my wife. One trip is going to be 2 days. The other trip is going to be a week.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing for our kids. They're going to get 1 2-day trip and one trip that's going to be a week.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that is intentionally set up for us to say, hey, let's stop, pause, and let's just make sure we attend to one another, right? Another thing that we try to do, our church is very much a bivocational church in the sense that our leadership, all bivocational, we share pulpit duties. You know, my brother Elder, who shout out to Corey Deamport, preaches once a month, and we just make sure that's a part of our rhythm as a local church. So I'm only going to preach at the max 40 sermons a year at City Light Church, and we do that very intentionally. But actually, I'm preaching less than 40 sermons a year at City Light Church, but we do that intentionally just because we're on a bivocational rhythm and and I'm doing a lot of things, and so we want to make sure we attend to that. Another thing that we do, our church is very much thinking about us. And so even like when it comes to things like sabbatical,
mm-hmm.
they're like, you don't really ever have a sabbatical because when we say you can stop preaching for this month, you're still going to be working somewhere. And so there's no sabbatical for you.
Yeah.
And so what they've done is they've even set in the budget where they've parked funds for us to just say, can we like go away for a week?
Mm-hmm.
And they say, yes, absolutely. You can do that. Right.
Yeah.
And they're doing that as a means of caring well for us.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I could tell you all the other things, you know, productivity and whip out some spreadsheets and all that kind of stuff and talk about how much you're spending, percentage of your time here, there, and all these types of things. There's a lot of other things that go into this, but that's just some of the highlights that I think that are really, really important.
Man, I think God's calling you to write a book about family and time and ministry, man.
Right. Come on, bro.
Yeah, I got plenty of time.
That's right. Write a book.
Yeah, yeah.
I know. Add that to the list.
Yeah.
Good, man. This has been fun. So appreciate your time today. Appreciate the work that you do.
Absolutely.
And grateful for your work at City Light, your work with 242, you and Candy both, and your work with Mission Mississippi, and excited about you, what you're doing. Love you, brother. Appreciate you.
Much love to you guys, man. Yeah. Grateful for the privilege and opportunity. Yeah.
This is good. I can't leave this, though, without noting that I saw an event you're speaking at in a week or two somewhere, and it said, wear your favorite sneakers.
That was awesome.
Was that your idea,
that
by
great.
The way?
Because that was not my idea.
We would think that it is.
That was not my idea.
Judging by the sneakers
but
you
hey,
have
man,
on.
I love the love. I love the fact that they know the speaker's art, man. They know the speaker's art.
That's good.
That
good
is
deal.
So funny. Well, I appreciate the last day. It has been great to sit at the table with you today, Brian. We love what you do in the state of Mississippi.
Hey, grateful for you guys, man. God bless.
All right. Appreciate you, brother.